Ghosts. Have they become a cliché? Or can we once again examine this phenomena seriously? After all, isn't it really our own afterlife we're curious about? Let's delve a little deeper on Jim Harold's Ghost Insight. Welcome to Ghost Insight. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you again. And one of the more interesting things I think in our shows that we do is getting to talk to people that are part of paranormal groups. And we have such a person today. She is an author. She is also the occult symbol spiritual beliefs researcher for Phantom Detectives LLC. We are talking about Holly Faust. She is a paranormal investigator, writer, researcher, esoteric minister, Reiki master, teacher, psychic medium, and child advocate. And we're going to talk to her about her journey into the paranormal, her journey out of the darkness. Actually, the name of her book is My Journey Out of the Darkness. And we are so glad to have her on the program. Holly Faust, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, it seems that your early years played quite a role in your involvement in the paranormal today. Maybe tell us how it all started for you.
My journey into the paranormal started in 1993 when I suffered a tragic loss of my best friend at 20 years old. And I was told because of the manner of his death that he wouldn't make it to the afterlife or to heaven. And, you know, I began a quest to find out why and what actually happened after we pass on and where we go, or, you know, what happens to anybody when they die. And so that's actually when I joined my first paranormal team and really started delving into, you know, trying to figure out what happens after death.
Now, do you find that the people just make assumptions about things like that? You know, again, to me, it's not for any human to judge, you know, you're going to hell, you know, well, that's your opinion. But do you find there are a lot of misconceptions about what happens after we die, where we go, where we don't go?
I think a lot of the misconceptions come from, you know, where a person is at in their spiritual beliefs or their religious beliefs. I think we get a lot from other people's interpretations of what happens after we die, and we don't really look at, you know, how the person lived or, you know, the good things they've done or anything like that. We just look at things that really shouldn't matter about how a person lives.
Interesting. So as you were doing this research, what were some of the things that maybe surprised you early on?
For me, when I started investigating, mostly one of the biggest things that surprised me is the things that are out there, like things that, you know, we see on TVs and in movies, and we think, oh, that really can't happen. That isn't real. And, you know, I had an experience early in my career where I was involved in a case that was a little bit over my head. And, you know, we had picture frames flying at us. And I actually have a scar on my leg from a crucifix that flew off the wall and literally stuck into the side of my leg. So for me, that was like a big eye opener that, oh, wow, there is something out there. And, you know, it can be bad. And, you know, I myself had a near-death experience after a car accident. Mm-hmm. And I had read so much about, oh, there's a bright light, there's a tunnel, your loved ones are there. And that's not what I experienced. I experienced sitting in a cold snowbank crying with an old man sitting next to me telling me to get back in the car. That was like, and I still, even now, I research a lot like near-death experiences because I'm always looking for someone who had an experience similar to mine. And I always get that same, well, I was, you know, I seen this bright light and I heard this singing and I was walking down a tunnel. And, you know, I don't know why I had the experience I had, but all I know is that I was told that, you know, I had things to do. My work wasn't done. And from that point, you know, I got back in the car and I'm still here. So,
yeah, Isn't it different for everybody? Is that fair to say?
I have, you know, for the people that I've spoke to, everybody has a different story, but they all seem to have a similar theme of, you know, they're seeing a bright light. I mean, I've heard of people that have been, you know, floating over their bodies and watching the doctors and nurses working on them.
Right.
So yeah, everybody's story is a lot different. And I still haven't found anybody that, you know, quite had an experience like mine. And I think I'll be searching for that until I find someone like that to try to understand it a little more.
Right. Have you looked into the work of, I'm sure you have, Dr. Raymond Moody at all?
Yes. Yeah. A little bit, not as much. For the longest time, you know, most of mine, like I did a lot of, when I was a little girl, I lived not far from the Merle haunting in Pittston, PA. Mm-hmm. I was 30 minutes away from that. And, you know, as I actually remember watching it on our local news station when they were interviewing Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that I focused on earlier was, you know, stuff that they had done. And they kind of got like guided my path in the beginning of my career.
Right. Now, in terms, you talked a little bit about the paranormal TV shows, and I'm always interested to talk to people who are out there doing real investigation, not saying the TV shows aren't, but people that are out in the field and aren't necessarily doing it for a television show, but they're doing it in real life. And I always like to compare and contrast their experiences. In your efforts to investigate, how does it differ from what we see on the TV shows, in your opinion?
I think in a lot of cases, people think there's going to, because TV shows only have a small amount of time to get in content. I think people go into this thinking, oh, it's going to be so exciting and we're going to get all this evidence. And I know for a fact, I have sat in locations for hours and sometimes days. And so it can be very boring. You know, you're not going to have flickering lights and all, you know, sounds and noises constantly. And I think that's the part that you don't get to see in the television shows.
Right.
The actual, you know, and a lot of shows leave out something that I feel is very integral to investigating. And that's the research aspect of it. Yeah, you don't see a lot of shows that are literally showing like researchers out there digging through mounds of information to try to get a historical truth about where they're researching.
Right. Right. Well, I think that I had somebody once compare it to ghost fishing because, you know, if you watch a fishing TV show, for example, they are going to show you all, you know, Bill Dance or whoever that's, I don't know if he's still around or not, but he was a guy that had a TV show about fishing. And, you know, you'd see all the great stuff where they're pulling the fish out left and right, but they didn't show the 5 hours he's sitting there waiting for something.
I think that is the best description of it. You know, like I said, I've sat in locations for hours with nothing. And, you know, like as investigators, I think a lot of us have found that, you know, it does take time for these areas to get accustomed to us before we will get information. Because it's just like when you walk into a room with people you've never met before, things are quiet. You're walking into a haunted location and these spirits at one time were human. So they're looking and thinking, who's this? What are they doing here? So it takes them time to get to know us.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different. But I mean, I understand that, you know, you have to, if you have a television show, a big part of it is entertainment, right? And maybe watching somebody sitting there at a table or on a chair or wherever it might be, might not be the most exciting thing. Now, when you go in to investigate, what is usually your role in the investigation? What do you tend to specialize in? What do you tend to do?
When I do a lot of research, I research, you know, into spirituality of clients. And locations, possible, you know, religious activity or occult things that may have occurred. My big thing for me, like especially with working with private clients, is I want my team to understand the belief system of the clients they're going in to work with, because that helps us better be able to help the clients, knowing, if you go into a Christian home, you're not going to take a rabbi with you to help. In a case of, you know, something that may need religious help, if you go into, you know, a Jewish home, you're not going to take a priest. If you go into a pagan home, you're not going to take a priest.
Right.
And I feel that's very important, because if we're, as investigators, going in using our religious beliefs to help clients, we're not really aiding them in getting a resolution, because to them, their beliefs are so different to us. And if we're not honoring their beliefs, then we're not doing them the service that we need to do.
Now, I know you've spent a lot of time in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, of course, the site of the Battle of Gettysburg, the bloodiest battle, I guess, of the Civil War, which is said to be extremely haunted. What was your experiences, or what were your experiences in Gettysburg?
Gettysburg is actually, I always tell people Gettysburg is like my Disney world. People want to go to Disney, I want to go to Gettysburg. And I'm very fortunate that I live probably within an hour and a half to 2 hour drive, so it's a day trip for me. I have seen, especially when I took my son when he was younger, we experienced where he saw a man, and they were doing renovations on the battlefield at the time, trying to get new growth to come in. And he kept going over the rope, and I kept yelling at him. And he said, I'm following that man. If he can be down there, I could be. And at first, I didn't see the man. And when I turned and out of like my peripheral vision, I could see a man standing there with like a floppy hat. Mm-hmm. And we ended up later that evening going to the Ghost of Gettysburg tour offices to take a ghost tour. And we happened to see photos on the wall. And there was one that was of a man in a floppy hat. And I had asked about it, and they said it was a photo of one of the apparitions of a soldier from a Texas regiment that, you know, had been taken near Devil's Den, which is like we were at Little Round Top looking into Devil's Den. And so like that was, you know, my first experience there. And yeah, I had experiences where we were there on a trip, and I was in the orphanage in the basement, and I kept sitting there, and someone had leaned forward and asked me, did you just say we need to get out of here? And I said, I didn't say it out loud. Mm-hmm. And right when I said that, I literally felt my head like someone was slamming it against the wall.
Oh my.
And when we had got upstairs for me to get some fresh air, we had found out about 2-3 weeks before that someone was in the basement, like basically antagonizing Rosa, which was the woman who ran the orphanage there. And he literally had his head banged off that exact wall by an entity down there. So for me, that was more, I was picking up on someone else's energy of something that happened. I've been out in the peach orchard, and we've actually like been walking, and all of a sudden we lost, you know, where we were. We couldn't figure out where we were. It looked like there were men literally laying on the ground with guns, mm-hmm, in the middle of the orchard, and it was at night. And, you know, we totally lost track of like where we were to get back to the car and everything. We became, you know, very disoriented. And that was the first time that had ever happened to me anywhere on the battlefield. So that was like very frightening. And I also had, you know, experiences down by the Bloody Creek, which runs through Devil's Den, where I actually witnessed something attached to someone, where literally they just screamed.
Wow. Wow. Now, do you think most... if you had to kind of put a percentage on it, I guess, so at least from your experience, when you talk about hauntings in a place like Gettysburg, it's very charged. You know, obviously a lot of sadness, a lot of emotion, a lot of pain went on in that site, which to me would seem to supercharge the area for hauntings from everything that experts have told me over the years. Now, do you think those are residual hauntings? Or do you think that they're sentient, active, intelligent hauntings? Or do you think there's a mix?
I definitely think there's a mix. I have seen, you know, where spirits have been interactive with people there. But I have also seen like that almost like a recording where it's just the same thing, like, you know, regiments marching through the field or soldiers. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen both. So I think there's a healthy mix in Gettysburg for people that want to learn about both types of Hawkins. You know, there's a good mix of all of it there.
And would you say more of the hauntings are residual or more of the hauntings are intelligent? What are your thoughts?
I think the residual would be a slightly higher percentage, especially when you're out on the battlefield, because there is so much energy. And basically the whole town at one point or another was a battlefield. But I think, you know, when you're out in the national park itself and you're going to places like Little Round Top and Devil's Den, I do feel a lot of those are definitely residual in nature.
Interesting. Now, other than Gettysburg, what would you say your favorite? I mean, you investigated many places. I'm looking here, the Malvern Manor in Iowa, the West Virginia Penitentiary, the Bel Air House, the Mansfield Reformatory, a number of different places. What's another one of your top few locations that you've investigated outside of Gettysburg?
I really enjoyed St. Albans Sanitarium, which is in Radford, Virginia. It's like I always say, it's like a rare jewel because mm-hmm. it's not one of the well-known locations. And there was a lot of activity, and it was actually the first time I experienced like being physically moved by a spirit. I had never experienced that before. I actually got knocked on the ground by something there. And I had a lot of, you know, personal experiences and also like EVPs and stuff at that location.
That, to me, that's where it gets frightening. When they start knocking you down, that's a whole different level. What was the context of that experience?
Actually, like when I recall it, it was actually, you know, scary but funny at the time. We were on a tour and I was with two friends and another friend that was there with his buddy, and they were like heavy metal rockers that were like tough guys. And we were in an area in the administrative wing that they said has a thing that they called like a creeper or a crawler that would just pop out and like come at you down mm-hmm. the wall. So we set up a laser grid and we started walking, you know, down this hall, and we heard this loud pop. And when we heard it, this black entity type of thing came out into the laser grid. And the guys with us said, what should we do? And, you know, I always have like smart aleck responses for things, and I looked at them and I told them to run, and they did. And I stayed there, and this thing literally came barreling at me. And the next thing I remember, I was like laying on the ground, just, you know, on my back and raising my hand to tell them I lost my exit buddy. So yeah, it was just like an overwhelming sensation of just something forcing me like right off my feet.
Your book, My yes. Journey Out of the Darkness. It talks about a glimpse of your life battling mm-hmm. inner demons from childhood, and then your journey for the paranormal, looking for answers. Can you talk about that and how your children's abilities kind of, in a sense, I guess, set you free?
I didn't realize, like, I had visions and things happen to me as a child, like very young, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old. And I would say things to my mom and it would scare her. So my mom was a devout Catholic at the time. So her, you know, theory in all of this, when I was talking about things I shouldn't possibly know, was to take me to the priest and ask him to have me exercised. So after, you know, experiencing that and seeing how bad it was looked upon, I, you know, really stifled that ability. I wouldn't talk about it. If things happened, I wouldn't say anything. And when my son was young, he started having visions of a black figure that would follow him around. And it didn't scare him, But he would just say like something like, "Man, mommy, that dark man was around again." And, you know, it started scaring me because, you know, having been an investigator and, you know, done these things, I was worried.
So this was like a shadow person he was seeing, essentially?
No, actually, I had the opportunity to talk to Lorraine Warren about him. And she had told me that young children, when they are first starting to experience psychic phenomena, don't have the ability to truly process it. So instead of seeing apparitions or people, they actually see shadow or mist. And, okay. You know, as they get older and as they embrace those gifts, they have the ability to actually see it better.
So he was seeing the shadow.
Yes, he was seeing the shadow of something.
Okay.
And, you know, and because she said to gauge by his feelings, and because he wasn't afraid of it and he didn't show any fear, that it probably wasn't something dark or harmful because it wasn't doing anything hurtful. And so, like, I, you know, helped him go through all of that and to understand how it worked. And yeah, he did start developing his gifts a lot better. And then he hit probably about 11 or 12 years old, and he had enough. He used to put signs on his door that would say, you know, spirits stay away. He had a little shaker bottle that we made him with bells and things in it that he would just shake. And, you know, so he literally eventually learned to just block it, so these things wouldn't come in and bother him anymore.
Interesting. How did that help you in dealing with that situation? How did that help you?
Because for me, I had blocked it for so long. And then when my middle child was about 2 months old is when 9/11 happened. And at that moment, I had had personal, you know, family members involved with that. And all of a sudden, I was inundated with all these voices and all these sounds and all these feelings of pain and anger. And I didn't know what was happening. I literally thought I was going crazy. And, you know, through having worked through things, I was able to look back at that and realize that that was like a major psychic breakthrough for me. And up to that point, you know, when my son started dealing with it, I literally thought I had some, you know, mental, you know, health issues, and that I was just crazy and needed all this medication. And through working through him with that, it allowed me to like truly grasp the gifts that I was given and, you know, break free from, you know, feeling like I was a bad person and that what I experienced was evil, and learned that what I was experiencing was the ability to understand these people that are coming through from the other side and try to share pieces of their story.
What, in all the years of your investigation and things, what do you think people, we kind of talked about that. What's the biggest misconception, do you think, about the paranormal?
From what I've seen in the area that I live in and work in, at least, a lot of people, you know, think a common misconception is, you know, when it comes to demonic haunting.
Oh, that's so funny, because I was going to ask you about that next. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people think everything is demonic, you know, yeah. Like we have a lot of teams in my area that are like going to a home and it's like everything's demonic. You have a demonic infestation. And, you know, they are actually like the lowest occurring of all hauntings. And you can have a nasty spirit. It doesn't mean it's demonic. You could just have, you know, spirits are basically like they were in life. If they were a jerk and nasty and mean in life, they're going to be the same way in death. So I think educating about the dead, like that's a big thing. I think people automatically think that all these hauntings are bad and demonic when it's actually, you know, a lot of times it's not even that.
Is that because you think of popular entertainment and the TV shows themselves?
Oh, I definitely think, you know, because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the biggest show out there was like The Exorcist.
Right.
You know, yeah. That was like, and then after that, it was Poltergeist. So, you know, and they show these things as bad and evil. And I think that there is a lot from media that gets brought into our field that gives people like a huge misconception of the things that happen in hauntings.
If people want to start doing paranormal investigation, let's say they've watched the TV shows and they say, I want to go out there and do this. What are your recommendations for the kind of the rookie paranormal investigator?
For me, I recommend them to research and read a lot about it, not just watch it on TV. Look to some of like the greats in the field, like Hans Holzer and the Warrens, and you know, some of the older investigators that have been doing this so long, and really research and read what they've done. And then find someone reputable in your area that's actually doing it. And, you know, learn from them. Don't just think that you could go out and find an abandoned building and start investigating. You know, for me, that's a big no-no. I'm like, my views are, if you don't have permission to be there, you shouldn't be there.
Now, in terms of what we see on the TV shows, we see so many gadgets, you know, people recording EVP, people using meters to try to detect the EMF meters to try to detect activity, all the, you know, super duper cameras and all of those things. How do you feel about the role of technology in paranormal investigation? What are your thoughts?
I am very intrigued by the technology. I don't use a lot of it because I break it. I'm not technologically advanced at all. I'm very tech challenged. Computers I'm great with, but when it comes to like recorders and, you know, all these fancy equipment, I just tend to be so inquisitive that I break it. But I mean, I for one just got a Sphere Fox and I'm absolutely fascinated by it. And you know, I think there's a place for it. Like, I think there's a healthy medium between scientific investigation and what we would call like spiritual or faith-based investigation. And I think finding that healthy medium, you're getting an all-around picture of what's happening in a location. And because with scientific gadgets, like, yeah, we have them, we know what they do, but, you know, we don't really know verifiably that this is what's happening just by the scientific gadgets alone.
Now, if people want to learn more about your team, explain to us how your team works. Phantom Detectives, are you in one particular region of the country? Are you spread out around the country? Tell us a little bit about Phantom Detectives.
Well, we're basically pretty much, I think, in PA, and, you know, they do a lot of investigations in Delaware, and I think a team member lives in Delaware. And we have some other members that are, you know, like mentors, pretty much like what I do, that are, you know, not in the same location as the team all the time. So, yeah, we have three members that basically go out, and they've been doing a lot of investigations at historically haunted locations recently. And, you know, we also do have applications for people that are looking for private help, you know, private families at private locations. And, you know, they use, I'm pretty sure it's like a combination of, you know, psychic and the gadget. So they use a lot of tech, and they're very scientifically based in their research.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they work together and they go out. And it's Joshua and Melissa, and I can't remember our other teammates' names, and that's pretty bad of me. But
well, I'm looking here, and the listening, I see Joshua, I see Rick.
Rick, that's the one I always forget, and I don't work with Rick quite as much, so that's but they do a lot with technology,
right?
And Melissa is a psychic medium also.
And Mark Anthony, who's been on the show yes. many times, yourself.
The psychic lawyer.
And Rajdeep, who is the graphic designer and social media manager.
And they're not in the same area as we are. They do a lot of remote work. I do a lot of remote work because the team, I'm in the Central Susquehanna Valley of PA, or the coal region.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like down towards York and Philly and Delaware. So I am being, you know, older and a grandma, I like to stay home now. And this affords me that opportunity because I do a lot of research and a lot of mentoring because I've been doing this for so long that I love to go out and still do investigations when I can. I am disabled, so I'm a different type of investigator than most people because of my disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for me at least, I think I give a little bit of hope to other people that are disabled that they can go out and do this too. So
I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it should be something that's open to anyone because really these themes impact everybody. You know, what happens after we die? Are ghosts real? What are ghosts? All those questions. So I will ask you that, and then we will point everybody to the proper place to find out about you and the team. In your opinion, if somebody asks you, Holly, what are ghosts? What would be your answer?
To me, ghosts are basically the spirits or souls of people that were once human. So they basically lived a life on this earth and passed away. And for whatever reason, their spirits or their essence are still here with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. Our guest has been Holly Faust. Holly, where can people find more out about Phantom Detectives, your book, and everything you do?
Hey, well, Phantom Detectives can be found on Facebook with Phantom Detectives LLC. We have a page, and we also have a Facebook group for people that want to get together and talk about the paranormal in that type of setting. We also have a webpage, phantomdetectivesllc.org. And I can be found under Holly Faust, author and psychic medium on Facebook. And you can also find my book on Amazon.
Very good. Holly Faust, thank you for joining us today on Ghost Insight.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Ghost Insight. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.